Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Dante Ferrando,
who runs
Black Cat.
Black Cat, institution here for music lovers in DC. So thanks so much for coming in.
No problem.
Now, this is, of course, it's part of our larger long-term piece here on just taking the temperature on the changing DC music landscape. Mm-hmm. And we were just talking before we got on here. There's so many options here in town. Just talk about how that's, on the one hand, it's exciting for patrons. There's so many options. But as an owner, challenges too, and just how it's exploding.
Mm-hmm. No, it's definitely a lot more venues than there used to be. When we opened, part of the reason we opened is because there were very few. A lot of it was just sort of an answer to 930 Club being one of the only larger venues in town. Yeah. So for the first chunk of time, 10 years of the club, very few venues, and each one kind of did its thing.
Yeah.
Mostly stayed in its lane with a little bit of competition around the edges, and we'd sort of pass shows back and forth to whatever place made the most sense.
Sure.
And that changed. There's a lot more venues now.
When did you notice that really starting to change?
Maybe somewhere around 10 years ago.
Okay.
I think probably the first 15 years of the club, I really felt like there was just a number of players, and they kind of were predictably in their in their slots. They just started being a lot more places. Rules changed a little bit, a lot more small, under 200 and under, a lot more just small places. And then that proliferation of the sort of 400 and 500 person venues, IMP getting larger and opening more places. It's definitely changed the landscape. I mean, there's some upsides to it. Bands used to skip DC frequently. There's a number of genres where I remember being like, we're not going to do well with that, and there's no one else that's going to consider it.
Sure.
So a lot of bands would just go straight to Baltimore. Now there's lots of places to play, so that's good. You can see more shows.
Yeah.
Downside, one of the weird things about this industry compared to a lot of others, competition in most cases brings down prices. You know, two people are selling the same, juice or whatever, then they price it down. but in the concert business, it's a little different. The competition is probably of benefit to the booking agents and the bands, but it does have the tendency to push prices up for the customers.
If I'm
competing against somebody, there's three clubs involved. That booking agent has the ability to leverage up the amount of money the band's getting, sometimes to a point where it's hardly worth the money. The only way to get the money, because you have a limited number of people who want to see that band,
is
to raise ticket prices. So, there's upsides and downsides to it.
So how do you address that then? Is it just the idea of, streamline your operation? Went to one floor?
That's a combination of factors.
Okay.
As far as the pricing of the bands and the calculating all that, there's so many things that go into that formula. You got to basically make a very educated guess as to what the band's going to do and what people are willing to pay for the band.
Yeah.
Obviously, some people pay $50 because it's their favorite band, but you're trying to get the most people into the room to see the band and not hit this point where everybody's like, ugh, that's just too much. I'm going to go to a different show and the show tanks. So that part of it's a challenge. As to the changes of the
club shakeup. Tell us about the shakeup.
That has a lot more to do with what parts of the business are doing really well, what parts are a little bit outdated, and what's going on with the neighborhood. I'd say that's there's a number of changes going on in the club. We're taking our Red Room Bar and making it smaller.
Right.
That's partially because the Red Room Bar was built out 15 years ago when there was very few places to go in D.C. There weren't any, very few neighborhood bars that would cater to our kind of crowd. So we fit a lot of people in that bar.
Mm-hmm.
We're going for a smaller version of it because right now it's just too big for what we're doing, for what's going on in the neighborhood. A lot of the people who used to live there, we had a neighborhood bar element to it, including the underground music scene element to it. And that neighborhood's gotten expensive enough now, so there's not as many people that live walking distance from the club.
Right.
So there's a lot of competitive factors, a ton of bars in the neighborhoods. The trend has gone more towards smaller places that are closer to your house. So that's affected the bar business and made us think, smaller bar is going to be cozier, easier to run, and make a lot more sense. Because we fill it if we got a big show, but on a dead night, it's a huge space. I think the more relevant piece to what you're talking about with the music scene would be the smaller concert room. Because I know a lot of people really love the backstage.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it as a concert room. I think it sounds great. I think it's a great place to see a show. But the industry has changed so much, and it's not just the competition from other places. It's that I don't know how you describe this without taking too long with it.
go for
all
it.
all the bands go through booking agents. Yeah. Most of the bands on that level are going through booking agents now, which is not, a lot of those bands were independently booked when we started doing the smaller room. Over the last decade, definitely speeding up over the last 5 years, the amount of work they want you to put into a show has gone up exponentially. A lot of those bands are now getting treated from the standpoint from booking agents and management. They're treating them almost like bands that can draw 1,000 people, but they're the opening band on a 150-person show,
okay,
with a 14-page contract,
right,
asking about VIP ticketing,
right, right, right,
and wanting all this work back of the house. So you end up putting all of this work into a show that has very little potential to make any money because there's a lot of competition. Also, there's just right, not that many people who want to see the band. I think at the core of it, it's just not that fun. Hmm. You know, you put that much work into a band that sells out the room and right, a lot of people show up. It's worth it.
Right.
Put that much into a room that can't really make money. It's a break-even sort of proposition on a good night. It's just not really worth it. So right, so with the new plan, what we're trying to do is go back to what we used to do in the first, you know, 10, 15 years of the club, smaller shows in the bar with, you know, smaller staff and a little more of like kind of the vibe you get from a house show.
Right.
And honestly, stick with stuff that's fun. It's not the part of the club we make money off of. It should be the part of the club that we, right, as everybody works there,
enjoy doing.
Yeah, and it makes it fun. Not stuff that's the same amount of work as the sellout show the next night. So
right,
it's a lot of changes, but it allows the club to be able to continue without having to stress about the financing of it all the time. We get some rentable space out of the downstairs. We get to make the club a little bit easier to run, a little more fun to run from the inside, focus on some of the stuff that we want to do, not the stuff the industry is kind of forcing down our throats.
Right.
So I think it's going to be a really good change. I'm excited about it.
Awesome.
The getting there is a pain. You know, it's a lot of work to change everything, but once we're there, I'm really excited about it.
So, once you get that over the initial part,
And I know everybody hates change, but we went through this before when we moved from the old location in 2001.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, "Oh no, it's not my, you know, it's not where I grew. It's not exactly the same." And you know, 6 months in, they were like, "Oh, this is really cool."
9:30 move. Everybody's moving.
Everybody's got to move at some point. You can't just have the same thing last in exactly the same form forever.
Because
things around you change, and you have to change with the different trends.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, let's dive back into the history of it a little more. Mm-hmm. Remind us how it was. Was it 93? Was Dave Grohl involved?
Yeah,
in it too?
Yeah, our original group of investors, about eight of us. It's me and my wife, Catherine, a little bit of family on both sides, and a bunch of people from the music scene. Dave Grohl was one of them. Basically, you know, 930 Club and DC Space were basically the only established and stable games in town for alternative sort of underground music. DC Space eventually closed.
Mm-hmm.
930 Club at that point, I mean, it's legendary, and I saw some amazing shows there. The place was great, but it also was terrible. I mean, especially towards the end when I think, you know, Seth knew that the years were coming where they'd have to move anyway.
Right.
The building was in horrible disrepair. It was too small for the types of shows he was doing.
Right.
There's a lot of downsides to that space, and there was no one else doing it. And so there's a number of people in the music scene that said, "Hey, we really could use a different venue."
Right.
Got a bunch of them together and opened Black Cat. That was the main motivation, is we needed it. It was an important thing both for the local music scene and for the touring bands.
And who all played? Remind me some of the artists that played that initial location before you guys did the move.
Oh,
who are some
God.
Of the high? I mean, there's I know so many.
Many.
Any that jump out at you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got your Foo Fighters shows, or you know, Blur, or you know, Elastica. There's so many.
It's all a blur.
Yeah, no, and I usually don't try to mention specific bands because I always forget stuff. I mean, Radiohead played there. There's so many shows. If you look at, say, 1995 calendar, for instance, right before 930 Club opened, we were the largest club in town. There was very few options to play, and we got tons and tons of really good, well, acts that look really good now.
Right.
I will say at the time, a lot of those shows didn't sell out. Radiohead didn't make us any money. We lost money on Radiohead. A lot of those things, it was a different era. It's pre-internet. The music scene in DC was smaller. You really had to know a lot to know who the hell the incoming band was.
Right.
So if you were reading your music magazines or working at a record store, you'd probably be at Black Cat a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a big difference between that and when a band actually broke. So So we'd get these bands. They'd do 300 people. You know, a year later, IMP would be putting them on in some much larger venue, and everybody's heard of them. But, you know, that's one thing that's changed. People's ability, if they're into underground music a little bit, you can discover stuff. Bands can get big very quickly. When they're on their way up, a lot of people want to see them on their way up. Back then, you know, on your way up meant you were kind of hidden, and a music person would know about you, and that's it. So it's been a huge change. The calendar was great back then, but God, if you looked through it and we went band by band, I could be like, ooh, yeah, I think that one sold out. No. And in a lot of cases, we even lost money on some of those bands. So.
Yeah. And what I know you don't like selling, or you know. It's hard to almost like sing. You don't want to single out certain bands, but if you can, even off the top of your mind, what are some of the ones I've played recently in the last couple years?
Oh God, that's always impossible. I mean, we've had.
I'll look down the calendar.
In the last month, I've had fun because I'm from the old punk scene from way back, and so we had like the Damned and PIL and Guided by Voices all play within the same week. Right. So for me, that's a good month. If you can get three shows like that in a really short period of time. Right. But I think it just depends on what genre you're in. I mean, if you like something different, you look at the calendar in a given 2 or 3 months, hopefully you'll see a few things you like.
Sure.
But yeah, it's been a good busy season. There's a lot of them. I'm tired. It's been a blur for the last like 60 days has been a really nice batch of shows. So
I bet. You know. Well, just sort of bringing it full circle, just sort of in closing here, and then we'll let you run. But what would you say is sort of your guy? You know, what is your slice of the pie here? What if you're into this type of music, you should come, or not even music, because you guys have a variety. But like, if you're into this sort of vibe, why come to Black Cat versus I don't know?
I mean,
Birchmere, Wolf Trap. You know, everyone has their own little vibe.
We lean more, you know, the terms, I guess, are kind of falling by the wayside, but, you know, indie underground rock. I mean, it's a rock club. I think one of the bigger differences you might find between us and like, I don't know, an IMP venue or something like that is that we don't do anything except for in the club. We don't produce large concerts. So our focus is a lot less on a band that we think has future potential to do 10,000 seats. Mm-hmm. That doesn't really concern me. In fact, sometimes that puts a premium on a band that they're not worth right now. Right. We're more into music that's our size, you know, few hundred people, good band now. Right. It's hard. The genres have gotten really blended. So it is tough to figure out exactly how to answer that question with current terms.
Sure.
But,
the terms are kind of falling away.
It's a rock club, and we like being an old school. You know, we have punk rock roots. You know, we're doing all sorts of alternative and interesting music. Mm. But I also like to keep, you know, a rock club vibe. It's not smoky anymore because people don't smoke. Yeah. But it's still, I like that sort of dark, smoky rock club classic vibe. I think there's other venues that are a lot more polished in style. I think that's good that there's different venues. Yeah. I like the fact that, you know, 930 Club, great venue, but feels like a big concert room that's been sort of shrunken down, like kind of an intimate concert hall.
Right.
I don't feel like we're a concert hall. I feel like we're a club.
Sure.
Very large for a club. Right. But, you know, each place has its own vibe. And that's one of the great things about D.C. now. So a lot of established venues like 930 or Black Cat or Birchmere, you know, have cultivated their thing and are really good at it. And so you got a lot of choices. And then there's a lot of small places that have new things that are going on. You know, the competition can be a real pain, but it's really nice that people have a lot of choices and that bands have places to go and can play. And you know, hopefully people find their niche, you know, and you can have the variety without excessive competition. I guess that's sort of like my hope. Yeah. That's the ideal situation. If people find what they're really good at, focus on that, that helps bring up the music scene in that section. And then, you know, everybody always compete around the edges on little bits and pieces, but when people get good at what they're doing and get a nice crowd going and a nice vibe, I think that can really help the bands because that means a smaller band in that genre has got a home, you know, got a place that they can grow up in and get larger and, you know, and then eventually graduate to the larger rooms.
The next Radiohead that didn't help you sell out.
yeah, exactly. I mean, they'll always be, you know. At least they're fun to talk about years later, right?
Yeah, you know? I knew them when. Yeah, awesome. Well, that's a perfect place to leave it. That is the hope. I think you're right. That is the hope. So, thanks, Dante.
Cool. All right. Thanks a lot.